Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity. Thank you, Jimmy Duluth. Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ and seekers of the truth. This is the 319th edition of SDG, Solo Day of Glory. And the title of today's message, another in our proper series, is Proper Fellowship. And we're going to focus on 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, where Paul tells us who we are, and then scriptures all over the Bible like we always do. Now, if you've ever felt like an outsider at your own church or your own gathering or your own quote-unquote fellowship, I'm telling you, it's either your approach to this concept of fellowship or theirs. So in this message, let's look at what the Bible teaches about true fellowship in the body of Christ. Amen? Folks, I just pray that the Holy Spirit reminds you of who you are in Him. Just ask Him, say, remind me who I am. Remind me who I am. So we're going to look at this biblical concept of fellowship in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know, the church is also known as the faith by Jude in verse 3. And he tells us to contend earnestly for the faith. Now, there are many terms used to describe the church, not only the church and not only the faith, but it's described as a building with each of us as its members being the building blocks that were laid with the mortar of love upon the foundation of none other than Jesus Christ himself. Then it's also described as a bride with Jesus, of course, being the bridegroom. But for this message, the figure of speech and the scriptures that we're going to build upon is the church being described as a body, with Christ as the head and each of us as discrete individual members of this body that must be fitly joined for proper fellowship. Now, it's very important to understand that while Jesus Christ and the church are not the same thing, they're not identical, they are inseparable. Just like the foundation and a building aren't the same thing, but they're inseparable. They go hand in hand. Likewise with the bride and the groom. They come together to form the marriage. So in that same way of thinking, the body and the head are inseparable. The head's dead without the body, and the body's dead without the head. So you can't have this thing we call the church without the head, Jesus Christ, and the body fitly joined. Now, I often hear what I call quote-unquote Christians, you know, perhaps those only in name but not in deed. People pop into Sozos, you know, they'll say, well, I'm a Christian, I just don't believe in organized churches. Or they'll say, yeah, sure, Jesus, but not the church. So they don't go to church. Now, they may even be members at a church. They may have their name on some roster somewhere at some church, but they've gone three times in their life, you know. Once when they got born to be christened, then when they got married, and then when they die. So when they were hatched, matched, and dispatched, you know what I'm saying? So the first time folks threw water at them, the second time rice, and the third time dirt. And if that's you folks, I'm telling you, you ain't going to know proper worship. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Now, folks, I'm not talking about going to some brick and wall church. You don't have to do that, okay? You might have some friends that you've met on the internet and you gather with them. Whatever it may be, whatever it is, folks, that's something you need to do each and every day. Not just on Sunday. Stay connected, stay joined. That's what I'm trying to say. Listen to what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. As for the body is one, hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. So right here, Paul's describing the church and our place in, and he calls us the body of Christ. Isn't that incredible? Now, if I could leave you with only one thought from this entire message today, and it's all you get, and I'd be so grateful if you did. Here it is. Folks, you, each one of you, are a somebody in his body. You're important to Jesus. Therefore, you're important to his church, also known as his body. Amen? So just ask him to remind you who you are in him. And likewise, folks, if you understand who you are in him, then the church ought to become vitally important to you. I'm not talking about that building down at the end of your street. I'm talking about the body of Jesus Christ. So whether you believe it or not, it's important because you're a member of his body, the church. And we are to have true, proper biblical fellowship. Amen? So to understand proper biblical fellowship, first we have to understand the proper function of a body and how it's formed. And if it's functioning properly and formed properly, then we're going to have proper fellowship. So first of all, let's look at the proper function of the body. Now, when you think about me, you know, and you think about your other friends and your family and even yourself, there's a human body functioning there. You know, we all know what the physical body is. And Paul's making an analogy here to the physical body. So what is the purpose of our bodies? Well, first of all, they manifest the person inside, you know. We're triune in nature, body, soul, and spirit. So me, my soul, my mind, my will, and my emotions, that's who I am. But my body expresses who I am. So when we think of the church as the body of Christ, just as any other body, there's a manifested person inside of that body. So guess what that implies? Well, you know who's manifesting in my body? I am. And all of you know about me only through my body. Isn't that true? Well, you may be sitting there thinking, well, that's not true. I read what you write, Bro Ken. Well, no. You read what my body has written. Without my body, I couldn't have read it. Well, maybe you're thinking, well, I listen to your SDG messages and, oh, no, no, no. That's my body speaking. Remember I talked about how we inspire, what inspiration is? So all of you know whatever you know about me through my body, and you don't know anything else about me apart from my body. So my body has done and it's doing what it ought to be doing, allowing you to get to know me. So in truth, my body is the manifest person of me. And the person who's manifested in my body is the person who lives in it. And his name is Ken, Ken Beer, also known here as Bro Ken, broken and made whole in Jesus Christ. So how's the world going to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ? Through his body. That's us, the church. And then there's that ministering purpose of the body. In other words, our bodies exist to serve us. They don't exist for any other purpose except to do the will of the person who lives inside. Remember, our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. So this body is the body that does the will of the person inside. And folks, I don't want my body doing anything for me. Absolutely nothing. I don't want my hand getting some idea that it's going to do something for me. No, no, no. I want to do something through my body, through my hand, through my feet. So the body's not here to do something for me. It's here to do something to me. And that something to me is to serve me. So that means my body's to minister the life of the person who lives inside that body, and that's me. So now back to the church as his body. So if we're his hands and we're his feet and we're his ears and his eyes and his nose, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to minister to him. But now, if there's a person who's manifesting in their body, and if it's manifesting that person, and if that body's ministering to that person, then there also has to be some sort of power that drives it or motivates it, okay? So what is that power that gives my eyes the ability to see, and my ears the ability to hear, and my arm and legs and all my other body parts the ability to move and function in terms of how they were built? What is that life? Well, that life's the spirit that's in me, and the body calls that the spirit of life. And the Bible, I mean, calls that the spirit of life. So when a man dies, he gives up the spirit. So what makes the church a body is that the church has life. In fact, the church has more than just any other organization, because the church is more than any other organization. In fact, it's an organism. It's living. It's dynamic. It's changing. You know, as some are called home to be with the Lord, others are brought into the church, just like cells die and regenerate in our bodies on a daily and moment-by-moment basis, likewise in the church. Now, the life of my body is my spirit. Therefore, the life of his body is the Holy Spirit of God. Now, a body without a spirit is a corpse, but a spirit without a body is a ghost. Now, the church is neither a corpse nor a ghost. Amen? It's a body, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are to manifest his person. We're to minister his purpose, and we ought to be motivated by his power, none other than his power, the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? So now other organizations in this world, like clubs and different associations, you know, stuff like the PTA, the Boy Scouts, Kiwanis, they all may be good, and I'm not putting them down, but the intrinsic and vital difference between the one true church and all other organizations in the world is the Holy Spirit of God. So we're not merely an organization, we're an organism. Now, since there's a manifested person and a ministering purpose and this motivating power, there must also be a mutual program. We're in this together. In other words, we got to do this together. Let me start reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. Now, remember, we read verse 12, okay? For by one spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we have all been made to drink into this one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not the body, Is it therefore not the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not an eye, am I not the body? Is it therefore not the body? And if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? So that's why I say we can't have a one-membered body any more than we could have a one-brick building. Amen? Paul's saying that we've got to be part of a mutual program with many members, but with one and only one agenda. So like I said, the Bible isn't against organization. In fact, the Bible is an organized body, an organized organism. In fact, that's the reason our body has these things called organs, because they're all organized into a properly functioning body. But it doesn't end with organization. It goes on to become a living organism. And that's where we are distinguished from every other gathering of people in the world. You know, sometimes people will say, rather foolishly, I have to add, and I've heard this to me so many times, well, you know, I have my own religion, but I'm against the organized religion, the church they're referring. And I'm not into religion, folks. You know, I'm into relationship, but I'm understanding what they're trying to say. And you know what? I just look at them and say, really? Really? Now, if that means you're against the organized church, the body of Jesus Christ, then you just simply don't understand the Bible, folks. The body must be biblically organized to properly function. And if it's not functioning right, forget it, because you're never going to have proper fellowship. You know, when a body ceases to be organized as intended by God, you know, now God fitly joined us, all the members, we get sick. In fact, we get very sick, and we're not at ease. In fact, disease enters into the body. Now, thank God for organization. But I'm telling you, organization isn't the be-all and end-all. It's not the purpose for our existence as members of his body. So any mention in the Bible of church organization is only intended by God to help us meet his intended purpose for us, which is to manifest Jesus Christ, to be the light, life, and love of the world. Now, when godly organization is correctly working, we're not even aware of it. It's just like our stomachs. When they're working correctly, we don't even think of them, do we? But look out when you have a stomach ache. Look out when you eat something wrong, eh? The Bible says, let everything be done decently and in order. So that's the proper function of the body, and that's crucial for proper fellowship. Now let's look at what the Bible teaches on how the body's formed. Again, from verse 13, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and all have been made to drink into one Spirit. Now, of course, that one Spirit is none other than the Holy Spirit, amen? So all these things, all this stuff we're talking about results in the formation of the body. And first of all, there has to be a reformation or a reformation or a spiritual birth. So first of all, we got to be born again. We'll never see the kingdom of heaven unless we be born again, like Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 3. So first, we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Now, verse 13 calls that drinking into one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So Jesus has to be real to us. We have to be true believers. And in the sense, like Jesus said in John 4 to the woman at the well, he's got to be the water to this body. Jesus said, in fact, in John 4, I am the water of life. And if you're thirsty, you can come to me and drink it. And there will be in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Isn't that awesome? So he is indeed this water life, and we drink into that Spirit. So today, if you're thirsty, folks, I'm telling you, you won't ever find satisfaction until you drink from heaven's well. And with joy, folks, I'm telling you, with joy, joy unspeakable and full of glory, just drink from this well of salvation. Amen? If you aren't saved, or if you're backslidden, if you're not sure you're saved, just say, Jesus, save me, and drink from that well of salvation. Amen? Now, if you'll trust him and receive him today, believe on him, live by him, abide in him, I'm promising you, folks, from the Word of God itself, he's going to change your life radically, dramatically, and eternally. Folks, I'd be so glad if I could trust Jesus for you, but I can't. So just trust Jesus. Like I said, I wish I could do it for you, but I can't. So first of all, there's got to be this supernatural birth. And after the supernatural birth, there's a spiritual baptism. Again, from verse 13, Paul wrote, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. So the Holy Spirit's the baptizer. baptizing you and me into the body of Christ. And he baptizes all who have drunk into the Spirit when we get saved. So when we drink into the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God places us into the body of Christ. Now, sometimes people ask me if you've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I don't want to get pedantic here, and I don't want to, you know, debate how many angels can dance on the head of a pin, okay? I really don't want to do that. But they're implying that there's something subsequent to salvation, and there is. And some call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but others rightly call it being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because, folks, when we're truly saved, we're all baptized by the Holy Spirit. But some of us aren't filled by the Holy Spirit. You see the difference? So, whatever you call it, I'm telling you, it's not essential to simple salvation, this filling, but it is essential to a Spirit-filled life. And if this wasn't true, if what I was telling you isn't true, then there would be some professing Christians who wouldn't be saved. So this second blessing, as some people call it, is what I believe to be the indwelling or the infilling of the Holy Spirit, where he goes outside, adjust your spirit, which is his lamp. Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. So all believing Christians have the Holy Spirit in their spirit. The question is, has he continued to fill you in abundance and overflow until your clay vessel, your body, is also filled? And there are some believers in there who I truly believe are saved who do not have this overflowing abundance of the Holy Spirit. So there's simple salvation, and then there's a life of abundance. And I hope this makes sense. So upon salvation and spirit baptism, we're placed into the body of Christ. But when you're filled in the body with the Holy Spirit and yielding to Christ, oh boy, that's an abundant life. Amen. So every part of the body ought to be like that. Every part of the body of Christ ought to be yielded to Jesus because we're his body. And when we aren't, there are all sorts of challenges that the church faces. And that's where envy and strife comes up. You know, we are not all loved equally by God. And that might sound like blasphemy, folks. And I know some of you might be saying, what? We're not loved equally? Well, if you're a parent and you have more than one child, do you love each child the same way? No, you love each child uniquely. And when your second child came, did you love your first child any less? No, more love abounded. That's the point I'm trying to make. And you don't love your son the same way you love your daughter, but you love them both fully and abundantly in the capacity in which they were created and how the love manifests. You know what I'm trying to say? So God loves each of us fully and completely, but uniquely. That's what I'm trying to say. So if we were just aware of that truth, and if we could just understand that God loves me fully and uniquely and differently than Sister Jackie or Brother John or anybody else, there'd be no strife and no striving and no envy, because we would be walking with him in the fullest capacity that we possibly could, being the best Bro Ken we could be, being the best Sister Jackie that she could be. And that's what we all need to do. And that's what happens when we're overflowing with the Holy Spirit and filled with the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit of God is placed into us supernaturally when we become a member of the body of Christ, fitly joined with that mortar of love, as Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4. So remember, there are two kinds of baptism: the spiritual baptism that we all must go through when we're born again, and then the physical or water baptism, which is a symbol or a representation of our death and rebirth in Christ Jesus. So baptism by spirit and baptism by water. And John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water, but there's one coming after me who's mightier than me and who will baptize you with the Holy Ghost, and that's Jesus. Amen. So there needs to be the spiritual birth, and then the spiritual baptism, and then a single body. Listen again to verse 13. For by one spirit we're all baptized into how many bodies? One body. A single body, folks. So he takes many of us and he makes us one body in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4:4 says there is one body and one spirit. Praise the Lord, okay? So there's this one true body. And it's working great and right if there's true unity. between all the true believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, do we see that in the quote-unquote church? That's because we're not functioning properly. That's because we haven't been formed properly. So how do we ever expect to have proper fellowship? But we're looking at the function of the body and the formation of the body. And if those things are right, then we're going to have proper fellowship. Amen? And this only occurs with proper function and proper formation of the body. So since we're in the same body, we share a common life. Verse 15, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not of the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Paul's saying here, we're all bound together. We share a common life because the Holy Spirit's the life in us. And that Holy Spirit's in me, and that Holy Spirit's in you. So we belong to one another. And we shouldn't be in competition with one another, like I said. Nor should we live in isolation from one another. You know, the foot and the hand belong to the body and depend upon one another. And the foot can't do what the hand does and vice versa. So each member of the body is important, folks, because God made us so that we need one another. So God made me different from you and you different from me. And I can't do what you do and you can't do what I do. Yet we function together, fitly joined, if we share in this common life. You know, eyes are really beautiful. They truly are. They're called mirrors to the soul in the Bible. And when you look into someone's eyes, if they're full of the Holy Spirit, you see the beauty of Jesus. You see that person. And it really shows through. You know, that's because those eyes are fitly joined. But now picture this. Suppose you opened your dresser drawer one morning, pull out a pair of socks, and you saw 9 eyeballs rolling around in there. What would you do? What would you do? You'd probably faint, wouldn't you? Or suppose you walk down the lobby of your church next Sunday, and there were a bunch of hands laying on the floor. Oh, my. That would be freaky, wouldn't it? Or, you know, my point I'm trying to make here is our significance as a member of the body only manifests when we're properly connected to his body. So think about envy and strife in the church, okay? If I'm not fitly joined, say I'm a hand, if I'm not fitly joined to the forearm, I'm not going to function right. And if I think I want to be an ear, but I'm a hand, and that's what God made me to be, I'm going to have that envy and strife starting to stir up. It ain't going to work, folks. It just isn't going to work. So remember, God doesn't love us equally. He loves each and every one of us uniquely. So ask him to remind you who you are. So when I stop trying to be you and you stop trying to be me and we all stop trying to be the best we can be, just imagine what the church could be. So don't take things for granted, okay? Don't take things in your life for granted, in your family to get for granted, in your body for granted. And don't take things in the church or the gathering you have. Like, I never want to take things for granted at Sozo's, you know? Suppose I came there some Friday night and the doors were locked and the place was dark. That means Becky and Bill didn't get there 5 or 10 minutes before us and flip the lights on and get the coffee going. Now, that happens sometimes. And I'll tell you, the feeling's a lot different. That'll happen because maybe Giant Eagle didn't have the chicken ready for the potluck, or you know, Bill got home from work late, or Becky had something to do. And there's a different feeling when that happens. Or when I get in there, if Carol's not there helping set up the buffet, or Terry doesn't bring the dishes that she made, it's not the same. Or if we had a guest speaker that night, or a worship band, and they didn't show up. So what I'm trying to say is we need to say thank you, God, for each and every member of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're truly, I'm telling you, we're truly one body. And there are many parts. And we routinely don't see what some of these parts do. Take our livers, for example. They're crucial to the proper operation of our body. But look out, if your liver stops working, you won't make it a week or two. If it just totally died. We can't function without a properly functioning
liver, but we would die in a week or so, you know? But how often do you think about your liver? You know, it's exciting. It really is to think that when our gatherings occur at Sozo's or wherever you may go for fellowship, there are so many people behind the scenes making that all work. Sure, we know who sings the worship songs in the morning, and we know who shares the message. But there are other parts we don't see, but they're just as vital and important. And that's because we're all sharing a common life in Christ, and we all have the Holy Spirit. But not only do we share a common life, we should also share a common love. Verse 25 out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, God says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another, and whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice in it. Now think about it like this. Because we're in the same body, there should be no arrogance. I should never say I don't need you, nor should you ever say you don't need me. And there shouldn't be any envy. And I shouldn't be saying stuff like, I want to be an eye like you, instead of the ear that God made me to be, or whatever, you know? The point I'm trying to make is there should be no rivalry, because we belong one to another. So I shouldn't be trying to get ahead of you, or one up in you. And there should be no self-sufficiency, folks. When I try to operate apart from you, or in disunity, what I'm saying is I don't like you and I don't need you. And that should not happen, because we're not to be divided. We're to be one body and one hope with one doctrine, not the doctrine of men, doctrines of men, but the doctrine of God, the doctrine of the apostles that the early church and the Acts of Apostles practiced. And there should be one charity or love. And that's because we all belong one to another. Amen. Paul wrote, when one member suffers, every member suffers with it. Think about it. You know, if you're doing any kind of carpentry work, and I don't know how many times I've done this over my life, building this house and all the buildings and the different things I've done, building the plants and helping other people, I'll hit my thumb with the hammer. Oh my, it's just not my thumb that hurts. My entire body gets involved. First thing I do is I drop that hammer and I scream. And then if it's really bad, maybe I'll put my thumb in my mouth and then I'll start dancing a little jig. Have you ever done that? That's because my body's fitly joined together. And when my thumb hurts, my whole body hurts. Likewise, you know, if I get a good piece of chocolate cake, and I know Sister Jackie likes chocolate cake too. You know how that feels. You put that piece of chocolate cake with that rich chocolate icing. Maybe it's got that chocolate cream in the middle. Triple chocolate cake. Oh, my. You know how that feels good all over? Terry will watch me eat dessert at home like that. She'll say, your toes are wiggling. And you know why? Because it feels good all over. So when one member hurts, we all hurt. And likewise, when one rejoices, we all ought to rejoice. Amen? And that's what God intends for his church to be. So when we come together as his church and we share our sorrows, they're divided, or the burdens lightened. And yet then when we share our joys, the joys aren't divided, they're multiplied. And folks, that's supernatural. I don't know how that works, but it does. So that's why we have the church, and that's what true biblical fellowship is all about. Fellowship of the faith once delivered unto the saints, as Jude said in verse 3. So we're to be the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and share the same life as we show that same love, because we serve the same Lord. Verse 27 out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 reads, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. So I'm telling you, folks, loyalty to Jesus means loyalty to his body and one another. In truth, we can't love Jesus without loving what Jesus loves. And Jesus loves his church. So that's why we ought to love the church, because God's son, the head of the church, loves the church. Yes, I'm telling you, with all of its faults, all of its flaws, all of the failures, God loves the church. So should we. So if you love Jesus, you'll love what Jesus loves, and he loves the church. So if you love the head, Jesus Christ, then you'll love his body, each and every member, even if one of them is at a disease or diseased. And remember, this is the one thing I want you to take away from this message. If you take away nothing else, remember, you're somebody in his body. So accept yourself. Now, you may not be a shoulder who bears the burdens of others. You may be an ear that listens or an eye that watches. Okay? The point I'm trying to make is just accept yourself for who you are and ask God to remind you who you are. Okay? Then just be yourself. Don't try to be somebody else. That's what I'm trying to say about understanding that you're loved uniquely. So that's who you are as a member of the body fitly joined. Don't forget that you belong to God. And be the best that you can be. Accept yourself. Be yourself. Don't try to be me, and I won't try to be you. Amen? And then give yourself. Because when every part of the body gives, when the liver's doing what the liver's supposed to do, and the legs are doing what the legs are supposed to do, and the eyes are doing what the eyes are supposed to do, guess what happens? The body is well and at ease. Amen? So the point I'm trying to make is that we all have to give to get to live. Amen? So we're in this together, folks. Accept yourself, be yourself, give yourself, and work together with other members, fitly joined. And then when we do that, you know who's going to be manifested? You know who's going to be manifested? Jesus. Because he lives in his body called the church. You know, I got an email from Allison this week, and she said, Holy Spirit, what do you look like? And he said back to her, look in the mirror. So folks, when people see you, they need to see Jesus manifested in you. And that's what proper biblical fellowship will do. Oh, what a joy. Amen? So you're a member of the body of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Fitly joined. That's wonderful. And remember, you got to get into the body to be saved and to function. Folks, I love you all. Now, I hope you realize that you're somebody in the church. Proper fellowship, that body's got to be properly formed and functioning. Is yours? Folks, I love you. I truly do. And I just want you to ask him to remind you who you are. Okay, I'll be back next week with another message out of God's word, provided he's willing. So just ask God to remind you who you are. Amen? I love you all.
When I lose my way and I forget my name, remind me who I am. See, so I don't want to be.
We're strangers and pilgrims.
I am in the loneliest places when I can't remember what grace is. Tell me once again who I am to you. Who I
the elect of God,
I
love it.
Ambassadors
for Christ.
When I can't receive your love, afraid I'll never be enough. Remind me who I am.
Holy and beloved.
If I'm your beloved.
Thank you, Jesus.
Can you help me believe it? Tell me once again who I am to you. Who I
children
am
of the light.
Children
of the day.
Tell me, lest I forget who I am to you. But I belong to you.
Good workmanship, other good work. Thank you, Jesus.
To you. I'm the one you love. I'm the one. Lest I forget who I am to you, that I belong to you. Whoa, tell me once again.
in Christ, the new creation. The temple of the Holy Ghost, praise Jesus!